You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining Sweet Liberty tonight. Today is Wednesday, and it is the 10th of November in the year 2004. Our spiritual message this evening will be the prayer of protection. If you would like to do it with me, the light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The presence of God watches over me. The power of God protects me. Wherever I am, God is. We've been talking this week about There we go again. I'm sorry about this. I don't know what's going on with this radio equipment of mine. We've been talking about the war. I read to you last night the... Thank you, honey. Is that all there is? Last night I shared with you the war prayer by Mark Twain that tells us and reminds us that when we're having these fervent prayers and asking the terrible God to vanquish the quote enemy, that we're asking, we're actually cursing. Asking for a curse on other people. And maybe that is something to bear in mind. Maybe some of you think, well, then what would we pray for? I think the best we can do, the most powerful prayer that we can pray from our hearts, is that your will, Father, be done. In earth as it is in heaven. It is not our Heavenly Father's, quote, will that wars are fought. And tonight, I don't know what makes this do that. Tonight, I have a piece here from the Asian Times. And it gives us some insight on Fallujah, folks. And I want to share this with you. I hope I can get through this evening. I'll do my best. This is dated November 10th. What's the date today? Look at that calendar, would you, honey?
Okay.
I thought I gave you the wrong date, folks. But it is the 10th. It's dated November 10th, 2004. Thank you, honey. And it's titled, The Real Fury of Fallujah by Pepe Escobar. And here's a quote. The Romans, this is a quote by Tacitus. The Romans create a desolation and call it peace. Sound familiar, folks? The Romans create a desolation and call it peace. And Colonel Gary Brandt, a U.S. Marine, a quote, "The enemy has a face. It is Satan's. He is in Fallujah, and we are going to destroy him." Before I do this, there's another piece here that I hope to have gotten through and didn't before tonight. This is from the 7th of November, an AP article, no, American Free Press, "Marines Turn to God Before Fallujah Battle." It says, with U.S. forces massing out massing outside of Fallujah, well, they're not massing outside anymore. This was written on the 7th. 35 Marines swayed to Christian rock music and asked Jesus Christ to protect them in what could be the biggest battle since American troops invaded Iraq last year. And the quote from Colonel Gary Brandt, the U.S. Marine, "The enemy has a face. It is Satan's. He is in Fallujah, and we are going to destroy him." Remember the piece that was written by the woman who was a mom and imagined herself? What would it be like? I shared this with you last night. The U.S. military dropped pamphlets or flyers and told the women and children, anybody who was not an, in quote, insurgent, to get out of Fallujah. And as the woman asked, I'm sorry, I don't recall her name, as the woman asked, did we send moving vans to help these people? Was anything done to help them or find a place for them to go, folks? And it's not happening. It is not happening. And so now the Marines are swaying to Christian rock music. Men with buzz cuts and clad in their camouflage waved their hands in the air, M16 assault rifles laying beside them, and chanted heavy metal-flavored lyrics in praise of Christ late Friday in a yellow brick chapel. They counted among thousands of troops surrounding the city of Fallujah, seeking solace as they awaited Iraqi Prime Minister Alawi's decision on whether or not to invade. "You are sovereign. Your name is holy. You are the pure, spotless lamb," a female voice cried out on the loudspeakers as the Marines clapped their hands and closed their eyes, reflecting on what lay ahead of them. The U.S. military, with many soldiers coming from the conservative American South and Midwest, has deep Christian roots. In times that fighting looms, many soldiers draw on their evangelical or born-again heritage to help them face the battle. It's always comforting. Church attendance, this is a First Sergeant Miles Thatford said, "It's always comforting. Church attendance is always up before the big push. Sometimes all you've got is God." Between the services, electric guitar, religious tunes, Marines stepped up on the chapel small stage, recited a verse of scriptures meant to fortify them for war. War. This is all out of the Old Testament, you know, folks. It's all out of the Old Testament. You read in that Old Testament how many times Jehovah commanded the people to go to war, to go into towns and utterly destroy everything that breathes. That includes the women and the little babies. The teeny tiny brand new born babies utterly destroy everything that breathes. And I'm told by so-called Christians that he had to do that because they were a whoring after other gods. Now listen to this. One Marine spoke of their Old Testament hero, a shepherd boy who would become Israel's king, battling the Philistines some 3,000 years ago. "Thus David prevailed over the Philistines," the Marine said, reading from the scripture. And the Marine shouted back, "Hooray, King David," using their signature grunt of approval. The Marines drew parallels from the verse with their present situation. When they perceive themselves as warriors fighting barbaric men opposed to all that is good. Victory belongs to the Lord, another young Marine said, read. Their chaplain, victory belongs to the Lord. That would be the Lord of this world. That would be Lucifer that is being referred to, folks. The victory belongs to the Lord, another young Marine read. Their chaplain, named Home, told the worshippers they were stationed outside Fallujah to bring the Iraqis freedom from oppression, rape, torture, and murder. We ask you, God, to bless us in that effort. The Marines then lined up, and their chaplain blessed them with holy oil to protect them. God's people will be anointed with oil, the chaplain said, as he lightly dabbed oil on the Marines' foreheads. The crowd then followed him outside their small auditorium for a baptism of about a half a dozen Marines who had just found Christ. The young men lined up, and at least three of them stripped down to their shorts. The three laid down in a rubber dinghy filled with water, and the chaplain's assistant, Navy Corpsman Richard Vaughn, plunged their heads beneath the surface. Smiling, Vaughn baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Dripping wet, Corporal Keith Agulis beamed after his baptism. He said, quote, I just wanted to make sure I did this before I headed into the fight. Yep, get baptized, and that's all you need, isn't it, folks? You know, if people would just remember a few of the statements of the beautiful and peaceful and loving and wise advice that was given by Jesus. And one of the most important in my mind to remember is, as we sow, so shall we reap. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. That is clear cut to me. Clear cut. So now we're going to hear about Fallujah. The enemy has a face. It is Satan's. He is in Fallujah, and we're going to destroy him. Colonel Gary Brandt, U.S. Marine. I guess he's not thinking, is he, about the women and children that weren't able to leave? Because evidently, according to McNeil Lehrer broadcast or program, a Marine, one of the leaders, I don't know what his rank was, said that if they're running, they're going to be shot. Assuming evidently that they're the enemy. So you know what, folks? I'm so sorry to say that today these young men, young boys and girls who are fighting in Iraq, who believe somehow that they are fighting to protect their country and that God is on our side. Well, of course, didn't George W. Bush tell us that God told him to attack Iraq, or was it Afghanistan? They're calling this a holy war. It's no different than the killing that went on by the Crusaders in the name of God and in those days of old, is it, folks? It is no different in my mind. I see no difference at all, always in the name of God. Sorry about that. This thing just goes dead on me. This is from, once again, the Asian Times. The real fury of Fallujah, it says. President George Bush, W. Bush, is reaching out to Fallujah, the first major foreign policy initiative of the second Bush administration. The name? Operation Phantom Fury. Operation Phantom Fury. The strategy, precision strike democracy. the name, Operation Phantom Fury, the strategy, Precision Strike Democracy, the message, kill them all and let God sort them out. Former U.S. intelligence asset turned prime minister without a parliament. Ayad Alawi, I'll call it Alawi, and if I'm calling it wrong, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, you'll know who I'm talking about. It is the prime minister, the U.S. installed former U.S. intelligence asset turned prime minister, Ayad Alawi, widely known in Baghdad as Saddam without a mustache. I don't know that that's true. Has got himself another title now. He is called the Butcher of Fallujah. On Sunday, before co-launching with the Pentagon the biggest urban war since the storming of Hue in 1968 Vietnam, Alawi installed de facto martial law in Iraq for 60 days. Historians and political scientists are breathlessly trying to explain to the world that no democratic election can possibly be preceded by a state of siege. To add insult to injury, Pentagon Chief Donald Rumsfeld is saying that Alawi is responsible for all major military decisions regarding Fallujah. Only the Bible Belt may be gullible enough to believe that an Iraqi civilian without an army rules over the Pentagon. So it's the Vietnam tragedy all over again, replayed as farce, a biblical crusade in Mesopotamia. Those who learned their lessons from history know full well what happened after Hue, H-U-E, that's pronounced, folks. The new Hue, or the new Grozny. The Pentagon spin machine is selling Operation Phantom Fury as a battle of good against evil to root out terrorists in the militant stronghold of Fallujah. Root out terrorists. That would be us if we were protecting our country against a foreign invader, folks. Fallujah. It is selling a war on civilians as the liberation of the people of Fallujah, as well as the next step towards implementing democracy in Iraq. Quote, democracy. These are outright lies. Fallujans insist they are not harboring Al-Qaeda fighters or even the elusive Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. The Pentagon insists that Fallujah is the headquarters of Zarqawi's Al-Tawhid Wal-Jihad, that means unity and holy war movement. So if there's no Zarqawi, if he really does exist, he has already left the building, sources tell Asia Times Online, and if there's no Al-Qaeda, what's the point of unleashing this fury? The code name betrays it all. The real motive for turning Fallujah into Grozny in revenge is revenge. In the first siege of Fallujah in April, the Mujahideen inflicted a severe defeat on the Americans. Fallujah had already become the symbol of the Iraqi resistance after Marines killed 15 civilians last May 2003, when the city even had a pro-American mayor. Last April, up to 1,000 Iraqis were killed, blown up, burnt, or shot by the Americans, two-thirds of them civilians, mostly women and children. Now, one of the first targets of Phantom Fury was a Fallujah hospital, qualified by the Pentagon as a, quote, center of propaganda. The fact is, in April, hospital doctors were carefully detailing to the world media, the hundreds of innocent civilians killed by the American assault. Now, under a strategy of what could almost be called collective punishment, the hospital has become a military target. This is the ultimate asymmetric war, ultra-high-tech F-16s, Cobra and Apache helicopters, AC-130 gunships, tanks, Bradleys, and awesome firepower against a bunch of youngsters in tracksuits and trainers with mortars and rocket-propelled grenades. A few hundred of them are Arabs, Saudis, Yemenis, Jordanians, Tunisians, the new generation of the Jihad diaspora, but the majority are Iraqi fighters, many of them former or retired military officers engaged in a war of national liberation. The Pentagon is pitting between 2,000 to 2,500 fighters in Fallujah and environs, along with another 10,000 Iraqi civilians against at least 12,000 troops, four U.S. military brigades, and one 500-strong Iraqi brigade, trained by the Marines and included in the American payroll. Serious fighting rages in El Guafi, in the northern part of the city, in the Golan and military neighborhoods to the east, and in the industrial and al-Shuhada neighborhoods to the south. The Mujahideen, at least for the moment, are holding their positions. Nobody will know the full extent of the horror inflicted on Fallujah civilians, because this is a war micromanaged by the Pentagon, carefully built up for weeks, timed to set off only after the re-election of Bush, and now conducted with a new embedded journalist Nobody will know the full extent of the horror inflicted on Fallujah civilians, because this is a war micromanaged by the Pentagon, carefully built up for weeks, timed to set off only after the re-election of Bush, and now conducted with a few embedded journalists on the side duly brainwashed by a barrage of propaganda and spin. The Sunni triangle has become so dangerous that independent journalism is out of the question, thus the absence of war images, apart from Pentagon propaganda videos of Marines under night vision cameras with the faint sound of explosions in the background. There's no soundtrack to this war, no sound of 2,000-pound bombs falling on rows of houses and followed by relentless wailing, the sound of missiles flying overhead, the sound of prayers and cries of Allah, Akbar, trying to drown out the fear, the sound of AC-130 Spectre gunships demolishing a whole city block in less than a minute, the sound of bodies hitting the sand targeted by Marine snipers. The only reliable information of what's happening on the ground in Fallujah comes from civilians who have left to Baghdad. It is a blatant lie to describe a city of 300,000 as a militant stronghold, even if there were only 100,000 residents left. Most of these, tens of thousands, are civilians. And as usual in any war, they are the most vulnerable, the poor, the elderly, the sick, the ones who could not get away because of fate, and the bravest of the brave, nurses and doctors. Fallujah from the inside. Senior scholar Sheikh Omar Sayed identifies three major strands in Fallujah: Sufism, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Salafism. Salafism? All united at the moment against the occupation. The city is being run by the Mujahideen Shura Council, S-H-U-R-A Council, led by influential imams and mosque preachers like, I'm not going to say, try these names, folks. Fallujah has four main clans, Zaba, Al-Jamalat, Bu Iaisa, and Al-Muhammada, plus many secondary clans. I'm not going to try these words. Most of the clans are Sunni and originally came from the Arab Peninsula. The backbone of Fallujah is Islam and its tribal clans. Bravery is the common staple. Vendetta is a must. People prefer to die than to submit to a foreign invader. It's considered their Islamic duty. More than 20 prominent Saudi scholars recently qualified the resistance as a legitimate right and an obligation. The Fallujah Mujahideen Shura Council is a real unifying force. There are no terrorists in the midst of these resistance leaders, tribal chiefs, and Sunni clerics. Only Iraqis fighting a war of national liberation. To counteract Pentagon propaganda, the Shura has promised to protect journalists and house them in a special building. But considering what happened to Kabul in 2001 and Baghdad in 2003, there's every reason to believe the Marines could have a, quote, accident. They're talking about dead reporters. Dead journalists, folks, is what it's talking about. The local command in Fallujah is centered in two mosques run by two people. Janabi controls the Mujahideen Shura, and Obidai controls the political Shura, presided by Sheikh Tarlub Abdel Karim al-Alusi, and uniting tribal and religious chiefs and city notables. Tarlub is the de facto political chief of the guerrillas in Fallujah. Even though decisions are collective and the word of the imams, I-M-A-M-S, and the emirs carries enormous power. Tarlub is the de facto political chief of the guerrillas in Fallujah, even though the decisions are collective and the word of the imams and the emirs carries enormous power. Asia Times online sources in Baghdad, close to the resistance in Fallujah, confirm that Tarlub was saying as late as last week that the city would have preferred negotiations, but the Americans wanted a war. I did see a piece come across my email, folks, and I don't know if I saved it because I wasn't aware enough of what was going on, where it said that the Sunnis had asked for peace negotiations in Fallujah and that it was rejected by the U.S. And that was what he just said. We're going to take a 60-second break here, and I hope you'll put your pen in your hand, hope you have a piece of paper, and I hope you will write down my address and consider giving a hand to support the cost of this broadcast. As I told you last night, we're now $9,000 in debt to our airtime bill. That's shortwave only, and we're not going to be able to keep it up. We'll be back right after this post.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, folks, we're back. I just got a call from Gloria. Excuse me, from Gloria in New York. And she let me hear what she was hearing. I've been told, if you're listening on shortwave, if you can hear it, that the aurora borealis is causing a lot of problems and that it has been across the spectrum. I don't know if that... she said that the program before mine she could hear, and she'll see how the one after mine comes in. Maybe there is a little jamming going on along with the aurora borealis. I don't know, folks. I'm going to continue with this. Asia Times Online, if you happen to tune in late, I'm reading from a report on Kalusha, and as you could hear, I'm having some problems here. I don't know, I'm sorry, folks, you'll just have to bear with this. Best I can do. We're reading a report on Fallujah from the Asian Times, and I'm going to continue this right now. I hope you got my address. Let me give it again, just in case you didn't get it. It is Jackie Patru, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. And Lily called today and asked if we were going to be doing a pledge tonight. I'm not going to do it, because if there is not, there are people who have been supporting this broadcast for 6 years, and there are people who are listening and have been maybe listening that long. I know there are a lot more of you listening than are helping to support the broadcast, and it is it's your broadcast. It's not mine. And I get nothing for this, anything material, nothing material. I give of my time and my love in what I'm doing. If there is not enough interest, as it appears, to keep it going, well, then we're going to be closing the broadcast down. And it may be before the end of November, because the longer we go, the bigger that bill builds up. All right, I'm going to continue. Let me give you my address. P.O. Box 190, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. And I will be rebroadcasting these particular broadcasts when the aurora borealis settles down. Asia Times Online. Sources in Baghdad, close to the resistance in Fallujah, confirm that Sheikh Tarlub was saying as late as last week that the city would have preferred negotiations, but the Americans wanted a war. The Sheikh also said that 80% of the youth of Fallujah had joined the resistance, as it would be a shame for their families if they were not committed to defend their city. According to the Sheikh, there are more than 1,500 foreign jihadis in town. And in parentheses, the Pentagon says they're between 2,000 and 2,500. But there is, he says, there is no Al-Qaeda. The Sheikh defends the presence of, quote, the Arabs, as the Iraqis call them. They are Muslim brothers who came to expel the invaders. Many nationalist Iraqis, though, are angry with the foreigners' presence because they say this serves the American strategy of labeling everybody as terrorists. But in terms of an attack on Fallujah, and as far as the Iraqi resistance is confirmed, the Sheikh was sure that the Mujahideen would adapt, retreat, and later come back in full force. What will the world say? Even before Phantom Fury, American bombing had been killing Fallujah civilians for weeks. Now the Marines are invading hospitals, targeting ambulances, and in the next few hours and days may even bomb mosques. So much for capturing Iraqi hearts and minds. The souk in the city center used to be open until noon and still had some food. But this was before Alawi cut off the roads from Fallujah to Baghdad and Ramadi. The hospitals are overflowing, but with no supplies, no medicine, and only occasional electricity. The brand new Nazal Hospital, funded by Saudi donors, was destroyed last Saturday by two American missiles. A few days ago, a message from the mosques of Fallujah threatened a jihad all over Iraq against the Americans and those who helped them if Fallujah was attacked. A fatwa approved by top religious authorities in Baghdad, officially proclaiming the jihad, may be issued in the next few hours or days, something that would set the whole Sunni triangle on fire and promote even closer collaboration between the jihadis and Iraqi nationalists. The civilian victims of Phantom Fury can barely count on global public opinion expressing outrage. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. It's Eleanor calling. I just want to tell you that from Hamilton, Ontario, I can't even get First Amendment Radio website to come up on the screen. It's just wrong. I cut off about 6 or 7 minutes ago here, and the shortwave is not listenable. I can hear you faintly, but no words.
Uh-huh. But you were able to hear it before that, Eleanor?
Sorry?
You were able to hear it before...
Yes, I was able to hear about the first 25, 27 minutes
uh-huh.
of the show, and then the website went dead, and the shortwave hasn't been listenable all evening.
Oh, now you're telling me that it's not even being carried on shortwave.
Well, I think it is, but what I'm saying is there is so little coming through that I can't make out any words at all. Just some faint whispering there.
What about on the Internet, honey?
That's what has gone dead, and I can't even get First Amendment Radio, their cover page, to come up on the screen.
Well...
That's completely cut off.
Okay, Eleanor. Well, I am taping these, and we will be replaying them, dear.
Right. God bless you.
Thank you. Same to you, Eleanor.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's interesting. At least where Eleanor is in Canada, she's not able to hear it on the Internet now. And I don't know what the problem would be if Nicholas is at the studio at WWFAR. Maybe he would give me a call and see if he can tell us what's going on. I'm going to continue this, folks, and these broadcasts will be replayed.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Nicholas.
Well, everything's working fine here, and I can pull it up on the Internet here.
Oh, that's great. Well, that means that you'll have it on tape.
Yeah.
Because I want to replay these broadcasts for our shortwave listeners when the Aurora Borealis cools down.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening in Canada, but
yeah,
I would be surprised.
It's something on her computer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I was thinking he called in. He came online with us. Hi, you're on the air. I guess they didn't want to be on the air Let me get on with this. Muhammad, wait, where am I? Oh, he says you couldn't count on global opinion expressing outrage. It didn't happen last April under the first siege of Fallujah, and it didn't happen last August when Najaf was attacked. According to a study published by the British medical paper, The Lancet, the American invasion and occupation has caused at least 100,000 Iraqi deaths. September 11, dozens of times over. Fallujah may add one more September 11 to the list. More than half of the dead were women and children. More than half of the dead were women and children. More than half of the dead were women and children. And I have read that nearly 500,000 Iraqi citizens, civilians, have been killed. Folks, hello, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry, I dialed the wrong number.
All right, dear. Fallujah as the road to civil war. What will be achieved by turning Fallujah into Grozny? Absolutely nothing positive for the U.S. History shows that a people fighting a war of national liberation is never easily intimidated. The resistance will melt away and regroup. Top Sunni clerics all over the Sunni triangle and beyond have reminded Iraqis, as if they needed any reminding, that they should help the guerrillas to escape. On the jihad front, the Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigades, the group linked to al-Qaeda, which has claimed responsibility for the Madrid bombing, has already threatened the U.S. with unbearable hell and did not forget to hold the American electorate responsible for condoning Bush's phantom fury-style strategies. Al-Qaeda, I have a feeling, I could be wrong, but it just doesn't go away that Al-Qaeda doesn't even exist other than as a word, like a conversation. Al-Qaeda was not mentioned during 9-1-1, was it? And it occurs to me, you stop and think about this, that this is what they do. They get people in a catch-22. The people in Iraq could lay down and allow themselves to be steamrollered over and taken and liberated by those who are spreading democracy around the world. They could do that, but they cannot do that. And it is a catch-22, because it occurs to me as I'm reading this that this resistance is exactly what they want, what they expected, and what they want. And it's how many dead and maimed U.S. young boys and girls and men and women will be killed. They're nothing but cannon fodder. Remember the statement in Foreign Affairs by Arthur Schlesinger Jr.? He said that in defense of the world order, U.S. soldiers will have to kill and die. He didn't say in defense of America, in defense of the, quote, freedom and liberty of the people in America. He said in defense of the world order, U.S. soldiers would have to kill and die. And he said we're not going to achieve a new world order without paying for it in blood as well as in money. And it's never their blood, is it, folks? Mohammed Bashir Fadhai, a member of the Sunni Association of Muslim Clerics, promised the powerful association would boycott the January election if Fallujah was attacked. The association, as well as the majority of Iraqis, knows that Saddam, without a mustache, Alawi, is alive and in power only because of 137,000 U.S. troops. On Tuesday, a major Sunni Muslim political party, we don't know that that is what the people in Iraq are calling Saddam Hussein. Or this Alawi, insinuating that there's no difference between he and Saddam Hussein. If you haven't read the book, Saddam Hussein, written by Nita Renfrew, I would suggest you do so. It is online at our website at sweetliberty.org, and you'll find it in the section titled Iraq. And you read about Saddam Hussein. He knew the danger over there. He knew that the danger was Israel, and he was attempting to get together a pan-Arab coalition to keep the money over there. And he had built schools, and he had built colleges, and he had taken the people of Iraq, an illiterate nation, out of the Dark Ages, and they were becoming readers. If you teach a person to read, there is nothing you can do to stop them, folks, from becoming informed and aware. I'll go on with this. I will have to finish this tomorrow night. I can see that. On Tuesday, a major Sunni Muslim political group, the Iraqi Muslim Party, quit the interim government and withdrew its single minister from the cabinet in protest against the assault on Fallujah. The Iraqi Islamic Party is the Iraqi branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, a Sunni Islamic party well established in the Middle East. Its members have a long history of oppression under Saddam Hussein's rule. As a result, party leaders went into exile, mostly in London. Immediately after the fall of Saddam, they restored their activities and somewhat surprisingly adopted a peaceful political struggle to give the U.S. a chance to hand over power. I want you to know that I have read reports on the effort that Saddam Hussein was making to rid Iraq of the communist groups. And this group that we're hearing about right now might be one of them. Its members have a long history of oppression under Saddam Hussein's rule. They had communists in the government, folks. Just like over in Germany under the Weimar Republic until Adolf Hitler became chancellor. Anyway, he said that they adopted a peaceful political struggle to give the U.S. a chance to hand over power to the Iraqi people. This chance has now been lost. Martial law means, in practice, a daily curfew, no political meetings, and no free press. But the resistance won't go away. The dynamic is inexorable. Sunnis will increasingly view themselves as excluded from the new Iraq as the Shiites keep gaining power. This is the road for civil war, and I say again, that is probably what is desired and what was expected, because they get you in a position where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. They've been studying this a long, long, long time, folks, for centuries, for millennia. And this is almost the end of this one. This one particular report, it says there could not be a more tragic exercise in futility than phantom fury as Vietnam revisited. There could not be a more tragic exercise in futility than phantom fury as Vietnam revisited. To destroy Fallujah in order to, quote, save it. The new Grozny, filled with rubble, will either become a garrison with scores of Americans being blown up by roadside bombs, or the resistance will eventually get the city back when the Americans leave. Few Sunni Iraqis will believe this was all about protecting them from terrorists and promoting democracy. Precision Strike Democracy is a neoconservative phantom. Precision Strike, if we change the word neoconservatism to what it actually, Precision Strike Democracy is a Jewish elite phantom full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. There's another one here, a shorter one, and I will begin it, and I'll get through some of it today and finish it tomorrow, because I have another little update report for you on some more facts about the Ohio presidential election and vote. This is forwarded by Angie Carlson, and she said, when you read the history of the Philippines invasion, 1898, of Christian American generals who proudly professed their aim is to civilize the, quote, primitives and barbarians and Christianize them, never mind the civilizing experience of the Spanish Empire just before their own invasion, one is stunned at how little the foul, bigoted, and self-righteous characters have changed. One is stunned at how little. Well, of course, the how little the foul, bigoted, and self-righteous characters have changed. It's because it's always been the same hands behind the hidden hand and behind what's been going on throughout the centuries, folks. And this is another roving eye from the Asian Times. Satan hides in a hospital. And this also is by Pepe Escobar, the one that wrote the one I just read to you. He says, everything one needed to know about the true, unspinnable foreign policy of the second George W. Bush administration is represented by the, quote, capture of the first strategic target in the assault on Fallujah. The capture of the first strategic target in the assault on Fallujah, the General Hospital on the left bank of the Euphrates, now totally cut off from the city. According to the Bush administration worldview, this is the house where Satan lives. Bush installed interim Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, announced with a smile of victory, the Bush installed, that's a hyphenated word, the Bush installed interim Iraqi Prime Minister Alawi, announced with a smile of victory that he personally ordered the capture of the hospital. So maybe it was not the Pentagon. It was an unelected politician asking a foreign occupation army to attack a hospital in his own country and preventing doctors and ambulances from entering a city under siege. You know who I thought of when he said, well, an unelected politician. Well, these are bureaucrats, of course. They're non-elected. But I thought of Arlen Specter. I could see the senator from Pennsylvania. I could see him doing something like that if we were ever invaded, knowing the hidden hand behind any invasion. There's a lot of them, aren't there? So-called elected officials. The assault, dubbed Operation Phantom Fury, perversely started on Laylat al-Qadr, the most important and holy night of the year for the Islamic world. How perverse. In terms of the information war, the hospital was indeed the most strategic of targets. During the first siege of Fallujah in April, doctors told independent media the real story about the suffering of civilian victims. So this time, the Pentagon took no chances. No gory, disturbing photos of the elderly women and children, the thousands unable to leave Fallujah in advance of this week's offensive, the civilian victims of the relentless bombing. Folks, I'm going to stop. This is only three short pages. And I want to do this for you tomorrow night. And so we've got, I don't know if anybody can hear me, but if you can, we've got a couple or 3 minutes left, and I would take your calls at 570-537-3025. I just don't want to start this and then have to pick it up in partway through tomorrow night. I think I told you, and you've heard on the news about the National Guard trainee that fired on a school in New Jersey, and I was thinking about that, wondering how many bullets they have to fire over there before they, quote, hit their target, and how many innocent people are slaughtered. Does it do anything to you folks? Does it reach down so deep, deep, deep inside of you and hurt your heart at the cruelty, at the insanity, and the bloodshed? This, all this blood sacrifice, it's what it's all about, you know, for the Lord of this world. Blood sacrifice, it's all over the Old Testament, isn't it? Our Creator, our spiritual Heavenly Father, demanding the slaughter of innocent animals. For what? To pay homage? That is so insane that anybody could buy that, could believe it. It is beyond my comprehension. I have to say this. And maybe it makes you angry that I say it. It is beyond my comprehension that anybody can say in their heart, I know that God is love, and then relate our loving Heavenly Father, Creator, to that bloodthirsty so-called God, Lord God, in the Old Testament. I'll be back tomorrow night. And I appreciate you being here. And God bless you. Good night.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the host and